Coffee break time, everybody. It's Thursday the 9th. It is the 9th of April 2020. Tomorrow being a holiday. How's everybody doing?
Fantastic. Looking forward to a long weekend.
Yeah, me too. Well, I can't wait because I'm still coming into work every day, right? So, there's this you know, heaviness of, you know, everything that's going on, plus not being able to get the studio set up and everything else. Yeah. At least not the way, you know, not the way that we had planned with.
But you can work on the studio though, right?
Only me.
You can work on the okay.
All by myself.
So you can't even get the contractor in?
Nope.
Oh dear. Oh boy. Okay.
No, we have.
I guess you
Ontario.
Will be recording it. I guess you will be recording against a blank wall for a while.
For a little while, yeah. Unfortunately, they called off all non-essential construction Ontario, Canada, so we're not allowed to do any construction at the site. However, I've got a 2-inch hole saw. I will be putting a 2-inch hole through the wall this weekend so that I can run some cables.
Oh boy.
Not going to look fancy. It's not going to look fancy, but it'll get the cables from A to B.
Yeah. Let the contractor fix it up later, right? Let him pretty it up later.
Mm-hmm.
I heard
See,
that.
You feel I me. I yeah, actually yeah, yeah. emailed him in advance and said, you know, if I do a 2-inch hole saw through the wall to run some cables through so that I can makeshift the studio for now, are you able to patch that up later? He said, yeah, go ahead. So
I'm sure he can, because all he'd have to do would be to patch up the drywall that you drill through.
Yeah. I'll put it down along the baseboard as well. So we're going to do a conduit.
Don't drill through any load bearing, you know, studs or anything like that. Okay.
I think I would notice if I was suddenly.
Well, I certainly hope so.
Why is this drywall so hard to get through? The grill starts smoking. Yeah. I had that. Well, I saw that happen once. One of my buddies was doing some renovations, and he had one of those, what do you call it? The saw.
Sawzall?
Sawzall, yeah. So he had the sawzall, and he was putting in a new door and cut right through the electrical. Didn't even know it was there. And just the explosive nature of electricity.
Yep. That'll do
something else. Yeah.
That will do it. For sure. Nice.
Yeah. No. So who do we got here? We got BP9 at the top left. We've got Peter at the top right. I've got Ron Morissette down there on the bottom left. Of course, you can see who's talking. This is Robbie Ferguson and Bo Lichnowsky from Ameridroid down at the bottom right. Hey, buddy.
Hello.
I have gotten to the point now with doing these coffee breaks and the number of times that Bo has joined us where I can type Lichnowsky without having to look it up and make sure that I've spelled it right. So I feel like I've entered into a whole new realm of geekdom that I can do that. So I hope you guys are proud of me.
Congratulations. Yeah,
I think it took you less time than it took Rosemary to learn how to do it.
Oh, yeah?
1 week.
Hey, to be fair, how long ago was it that you were here, Rosemary? It's been...
Several months. Yeah.
It was last summer. So
that's how long it took me. I was referring back to that episode to get the correct spelling. So, and I noticed that and maybe this is another testament to my geekdom. If you Google you, pretty much I've knocked everything else off of Google and everything has to do with Category 5 at this point. So basically, I may as well start giving you a wage. I think because you kind of work here.
Let me do a little search here.
Do a little search for your name, and let's see what comes up. What do you get?
I was using DuckDuckGo, so it's not the same as Google.
I do the same.
The first thing is the Agony Ride.
Oh, yes. Good, good. What's the second thing?
Criminal and court records.
Oh,
as an ad.
This is getting interesting.
Oh,
I thought
no.
DuckDuckGo was supposed to hide your stuff.
Yeah. Oh no, it hides. It hides what you do. It doesn't track doesn't provide results.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Bog, I have a question for you.
Sure.
Just a real quick one. More stuff that you were showing off that
this is SD charades,
card
guys.
Holder. Oh. Yeah, I know. Stop. I'm like, give me a break. Yeah. Do you sell those? Can I buy them off you?
Well, I have a few extras.
Oh, okay.
Included in the next box.
Well, I'll tell you what. Throw one in when I make my next order, because I'm about to order some stuff. So.
Oh, speaking of, I got a notification that I've got a shipment coming from Ameridroid. I just got that notification last night.
Nice.
All right. Well,
the question is: are there, by any chance, any gummy bears? Because you always say, "Oh, you didn't get gummy bears? Are there any gummy bears?"
There should be gummy bears.
There should be. All right. So this is gonna be, I'm going to open this on the coffee break.
There's going to be another little surprise about, it's about as exciting as gummy bears. That's in your box as well.
Oh, nice. Oh boy. Oh boy. Sweet. Look out, Robbie. Nice.
Uh-oh. They know my name over there at Ameridroid.
Yeah.
I'm in trouble.
You'll probably have a pine time.
Yeah. No, I ordered mine though, and it should be shipping at some point. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
What I did order from Ameridroid was a
pine time is a little bit more exciting than gummy bears.
Well, you said it would be a more exciting thing.
Depends. I mean, I haven't really had a chance to get any gummy bears as of late. So, I bought I have a jelly bean dispenser on my desk, and I have no loose change. But it takes coins, and I can't eat them, and so they taunt me day in, day out.
I saw that on your Twitter, Robbie. You're bad. You're very bad.
So right now, gummy bears.
Oh. Yeah, but that one.
Oh, that's so cool. But you don't need a coin for that. I'd have to smash my thing in order to get jelly beans.
My son made this, and it has a motion sensor under here. So if you move your hand under here, then there's an Arduino and then a servo. And it moves, and the M&Ms fall down.
That is too cool. Oh,
nice. Nice. So,
so all that to say, I would not be sad if I received some gummy bears. Craving needs to be filled.
Well, there you go. I can't guarantee you how long it's going to. You have to wait, though.
What I'm going to have to pay in the import taxes and all that stuff. Who knows? It's always a mystery.
Well, hopefully not much. I zeroed out the value of the other items because you didn't pay for those.
Thanks, Bo.
That's what it's like to be a TV star, Robbie. Nice job. Well done. Very good.
This giant fridge-sized box arrives because I ordered a single chip.
Yeah, it's full of gummy bears.
Yeah, $0 value.
Yeah.
Nice.
Hey, anybody have some fun plans for the weekend? I know it's Easter weekend.
I am going to be researching more on the pine time because I think I've them. So I got the Raspberry Pi set up. I loaded up XFCE4 because that's the window manager that I prefer to use in Linux. I don't like KDE. I'm sort of kind of like GNOME, but both of those like to have full control over the background. And
I like Mate myself, which is like a GNOME 2.5.
Right, but the thing is, again, because it's GNOME, it likes full control of the background. I like to run XEarth behind in the background, in the root window, and none of the KDE or GNOME or any of those, whatever version, like for anything else to draw on the root window and make it visible. But XFCE does. It has no problem with that at all. It's a lot simpler, it's more lightweight, especially for the laptops and such that perhaps are not as powerful as the desktop and the graphics card is. But for the Raspberry Pi, I have that all set up. I don't judge me. I use Visual Code. I use
Visual Studio.
I think Visual Studio is specifically Visual Studio is specifically the Microsoft product, and I think Code. But it works. But Code is what I specifically use, and I've just found that to be a nice environment to run in. Build the thing with a Makefile. All the projects I use all build with Makefile, and it just seems to work. So I have discovered, I believe, the Pinetone is 240 by 240, not 320 by 320, which is, I found conflicting documentation, but there's more documentation that says it's 240 by 240 versus 320 by 320. So now I can't even remember where I found that. But anyway,
I'm going to activate the touch sensor. And then I'm going to log the touch codes, and I'm just going to touch the bottom right corner to see what it tells me the geocords are that I touched.
Sure. Yeah.
Which I figure will be 240 by 240 or whatever it is.
Yeah. Or I could try drawing a 320 by 320 on a 240 by 240 and only see the top two-thirds of the of the image.
Yeah, that would work too. Yeah.
That would work as well, right? That would make for sure, that would guarantee for sure that it's 240 by 240, but shrunk down to like an inch and a bit, right? So it's still going to be, you know, a pretty nice resolution for that for that size screen. So that's I've also discovered, you know, by researching the Adafruit libraries, the Adafruit library looks to be a more generic library that tries to drive all kinds of different devices, but the ST77 whatever the display is only one of those devices, and because it's so generic, it makes it I would rather just focus on that device. So what I did is I followed the logic through, or what it takes to draw a line on the screen. And I discovered there is no primitive function, and I couldn't find one when I was looking at the low-level documentation. There's no primitive function for actually drawing a line from point A to point B. You actually have to figure out which pixels have to be between this point to this point and enable each pixel. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I've done that before, though. So I've done that before. It really is not a problem. So
that's Bresnahan's algorithm.
Say again?
Bresnahan's algorithm for graphics.
Finally,
math comes in handy.
Yes, absolutely.
I use math every day.
I was doing sines and
there was a little bit of sarcasm there, Bo.
I was doing sines and cosines to try and figure out where all those positions should be in the on the clock face. So, you know, it's the same thing. But my point is, though, that and in fact, whoever was it, Bo, that mentioned that algorithm? I think that was mentioned in the Adafruit library. I think it actually said, thanks Google for pointing out that algorithm. So, yeah, I know. Oh, good. Okay. Nice.
I was in computer science in university such a long time ago that we had to write our own GPU drivers, our own GPU libraries. I mean, there was no GPU yet. So, So we had to write our own. Our own code now,
Written a project. This is a private project. It's not one that I published, but it takes, I don't know if you're aware, especially you, Robbie, from Canada, the US every 10 years runs a census, right? And what's probably not very well known is that part of the data that's collected in the census data is the lat longs of each segment of road in the entire country. So whenever a road curves or anything like that, there's a lat long from here to here, then lat long from here to here. So segments of road are all described for every single road in the country. Absolutely. And each of those segments are described in terms of what kind of road it is, Is it an interstate? Mm-hmm. Is it a country road? Is it a county road? Is it a state road? The name of it, all of that information is all recorded. Unfortunately, what's not recorded is whether it's a one-way road or not. But the important point of all this is that I wrote a program that takes that census data, which I downloaded and recorded onto like five CDs, took all that census data, loaded it up into a relational database, and then built a program that takes the XY coordinates of every one of those rows, every one of those segments, converts those to XY coordinates, and then draws those rows. So it draws a map from the census data. Remarkably accurate, surprisingly accurate. But there is so much data that it takes ages to draw, especially if you zoom out to the entire country and have to retrieve the entire data set and draw them. But if you're zoomed into a very close, you know, a very small area, then there's very little data to retrieve because you're only pulling the lat long from that top left to the to the bottom right and picking out all the roads that are inside that boundary. So it's good fun.
That's reminding me, there's a project right now that I'm really starting to see take off that is really kind of intriguing, is that they have, and I say they, I'm not sure who, I'm sure a Google search will reveal it to you, but they've recreated the entire Earth, like the continents, in Minecraft. Mm-hmm. And so there's this project where people are claiming cities. So like somebody has claimed New York and somebody has claimed Paris. And so they're actually like master builders who are building the actual structures that exist on Earth as they are right now. So the goal with this whole project, thinking about the scale of your geo-coordinates and everything, it's like, so they've already finished the landscape, all of the continents, the topography of the Earth. You can climb Mount Everest and everything. It has been done. Now they're building the actual structures, like the man-made. So the natural stuff is done. The man-made stuff is being done now, which is just, like there's some videos on YouTube right now. It's just mind-bending what they can do in a video game like Minecraft.
Keep your, so, what accuracy did they long and that go to? Did they do parts of degrees of arc or what?
I don't know the specific data, Peter, but I know that they used actual map data in order to generate the topography. So it should be pretty accurate, as accurate as something like Minecraft can be. Of course, it's made of 32 by 32 blocks. Squares, right? Yeah.
One second of arc, you know, it's all you need, you know, because that's 1/6 of a degree, you know. Because it was 60 degrees, it's roughly about 20 miles or something like that.
Sorry, I just wanted to say it is to scale. It's to scale. So if you were to walk in the game, it's to scale. Like it would presumably take you just as long.
1 meter, right? In the game?
I'm not sure. Is that right?
I think that's true. Yes.
That makes sense.
That was true. And I believe that's true in Minecraft as well. Now, here's the thing though, Robbie. In mine test, and I'm sure, I think it might be true in Minecraft as well, the world is generated procedurally from a seed that is like a number that is like, I don't know, 32 hex bytes long or something like that. Yeah. Is that also true of Minecraft? And if that is true, did they come up with a seed that was the closest possible so they wouldn't have to modify it, or did they just start with literally one block and then work from there?
I think it's more like what the seed does is it auto-generates as you enter regions of the map, because Minecraft, mine test are designed to be basically infinite worlds. So if you travel beyond the previously generated area, it will just use the seed to generate a new area. But it's pretty much random, right? Based on algorithms and the seed. But in this case, I think what they've done is they've taken actual map data and converted it into a pre-generated Minecraft world. So there will be no seed generation on that map because it's specifically generated by the whoever designed the program to convert an actual globe.
The other question, that's my next question. If you keep walking in one direction, like you keep walking, are you going to end up?
It is flat Earth, right? Minecraft. Minecraft is flat Earth.
No, all those flat Earth people were right after all.
So we're probably going to see that where, you know, yeah, if you go beyond the edge of the map, then yeah, you'd probably just either fall off or it would just keep going into nothingness. I would expect, because it is not going to be globular. It's not going to be a sphere. It would be a flat surface.
Mm-hmm. Well, the zero meridian is England. That's the prime meridian, Greenwich, I believe. So they're not going to split that in half. What they'll probably do is split what's at 180 degrees is mostly ocean or sea. So they'll probably, worst case scenario, split some islands or something in half, I guess.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
you know, as you draw it, because if you don't go around and you don't end up, you know, falling off one end, coming on the other, if that 180 degree meridian happens to fall in an island, you're going to split that island into two, yeah, right?
It will up, it doesn't. But they go around it on a real map. So at the 180 degree point, they go around the island. One's Eastern time, one's Western time. Because that's
I guess they don't. Yeah, I guess it doesn't matter whether they stop at 180 degrees. They could keep going to 190 degrees if they had to, right? It'd be perfectly valid to do that, just to keep.
I'm going on the assumption that it would be flat, but there's always the possibility they could write mods, for example, that would automatically create an appearance of continuation by
together
teleporting, basically.
Right. But what about the northernmost and southernmost latitudes? Because as you go further north or further south, those east-west points are closer and closer together. That's the function of that. That's what a globe is. How do you handle all that?
Is it going to be, is it going to be equirectangular, or is it going to be?
Right.
Yeah. No, that's definitely true. It'll be interesting to
see. You have that problem with aeronautical maps. I mean, the problem that we have what we call sectionals, right? And the problem is the further north you go, the area covered by the sectional at the northernmost piece is much less than the area covered by the southernmost piece of that map. So it's actually, I think it's actually drawn, you know, angular. I think the edges are at an angle to account for that.
Yeah.
To try to keep the spacing somewhat the same between the landmarks.
Yeah.
Boy, I'm having trouble forming words today. I don't know what the problem is.
I know exactly what you're talking
about.
You've got a sphere and you're trying to put it onto a flat plane. So
the early
map drawers had to figure that out. And now it's going to be the same thing for Minecraft. But they can't, to the rescue! Yes. But they can't go equirectangular, because then if you were at that northernmost spot, what is everything squished? And they have to figure out the math behind how to make that properly.
Luckily there's math to do that. So there are spherical formulas that let you get great circle distance and all that good fun stuff, which can yield some surprising results, because you expect to go from like Canada to England and you go over the North Pole, because that's the shortest path. So good fun.
Intriguing.
Yeah. What else have I been up to? I'm sure I've been up to no good.
I've just figured out to make it Linux. Let's work on Linux. I'm going to write my first Linux game this Easter. Try to experiment, find out how to do it. I know enough about Windows. I've got to just figure out all the APIs working Linux properly, and then I'm going to have a little experiment during the week to break and see what I can find out. And if I can do that, I'll write something very simple to understand what's going on. But I haven't got the APIs for Windows, which makes life a wee bit difficult because you can't do what you could do on Windows. But obviously there are Linux ones there, and I've already investigated that on my laptop already. I also got TeamViewer to work as well after a bit of struggle with it. I discovered you couldn't run it from Debian from the back.
Oh.
You have to run it from the bash command. I wrote a script file and just ran it from there, and it worked. I did the same to Lazarus as well, because there are 3 bits in Lazarus. I discovered I was only running 1 bit, and I discovered why didn't it work. Why keep it telling me city things where parts are not found, but you have to run the 3 parts. And when you run the 3 parts, it works.
Good. Well, yeah. Well done troubleshooting it, Peter.
Yeah,
great job. That's part of the fun, I think, of Linux too, is that you get to, like, when things don't work, you can get in the terminal and try to figure it out, run it from mm-hmm. the terminal and see what's actually going on. So,
yeah, I didn't get more experience on Linux. I've been not much experience on Linux. Only having the last year or so, because I've been Windows all the time.
Oh.
So, yeah, I had to learn Lazarus on Windows when I was ill, so. That was a bit of therapy for myself, yeah. I got gigabytes, of even terabytes of data, programming data, which I wrote on Linux over the last 20 years or so, because I wrote the operation in 2001 when the two towers came down. I was having the operation at the same time. And from there, after that, I used it as a therapy thing to learn. I would probably go and do the same with Linux, just sit down every day, figuring things out. It takes a very long time. I'll get what I could produce. I don't know how I want to publish it, but anyway, you probably will tell me how to do that, because I'll never publish anything. I wrote lots of programs, but I'll never publish any of them.
Oh, yeah. I've found GitHub has been a wonderful place for me because it gives me a chance to not only share my programs, Peter, but I like that then I have a spot where I can kind of keep track of my own progress. So as I do edits to the software, if I screw something up, I can go back and fix it much more easily because it works as like project management as well.
How do you do get into GitHub? How do you put yourself on GitHub? How do you do it? And you put the stuff on GitHub.
Well, that's that I do from a Linux command line. There's the git command. So it's just learning the basics, like git clone, git pull, git push origin master. And I can list those out for you if you want, like just the basic stuff. Or you know what? I'll probably do a feature on the TV show about the basics of git.
That'll work.
Yeah, that would be a good way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
It's not, it is a little bit complicated if you get into the tutorials and stuff, because there's a lot you can do with it. But really, for me, like, just knowing the basics of Git really, really helps me to be able to do my project management. So I'll do a show for you, Peter, and we'll talk about that. I'll give you a tutorial, okay?
Thank you very much. Yeah, that.
My pleasure. I'll put it on the list.
You should not be surprised that I maintain my own Git server.
I'm not surprised at all. And some people will say GitHub, oh, that's owned by Microsoft. What is Robbie doing? Well, it wasn't always owned by Microsoft, and all my repos are already there. They are doing a fine job of running it, and they've actually opened it up more. I can have private repositories for free now. You never could do that before. You had to pay for it. So you know, they're doing some good for open source, that's for sure. So.
I am conscious of the fact that whenever I publish my repo to GitHub, that everything goes. That means all the stupid comments that you put in there and all the silly
Git ignore.
Oh, sure.
Use your Git ignore.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. But my point is that whenever you check into even your own Git repository, if there's any possibility that you might publish it somewhere.
Yes.
You better be sure that you stayed professional in all your comments and in all your code.
Alternatively, mm-hmm. use your comments in your code as Easter mm-hmm. eggs for those who actually read the source. Yeah. Some of my comments are a little bit off the wall.
I'm not surprised.
Fun having you guys here. It's time for us to wrap up. So have a wonderful day. I will see you tomorrow. I do not have to go to work tomorrow, so I'll probably be home or maybe at the studio. I don't know. But I'll be here. So we'll see you at tomorrow's coffee break. Take care, everybody.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.